Sunday, Resurrection Sunday, I spoke about how the realities of the resurrection and what changed after Jesus rose from the dead. And I mentioned four things that happened. Number one, the new creation. Number two, scripture is interpreted differently. We have the New Testament versus the Old. And there were things that were written in the Old Testament that those that read it didn't understand fully. They knew there was something coming, but they didn't really understand the fullness of what was written there until after Jesus rose from the dead. And then they went back and they looked at passage and they go, oh, that's what that meant. Oh, yes, now I get it. Now I understand. And so after the resurrection, there was a reinterpretation of scriptures that in the old that they just didn't have full understanding. So we have the new creation. We have scriptures that are reinterpreted, so to speak. We also have a new exodus taking place, not a physical one anymore, but a spiritual one. And then finally, Jesus was not just Lord of the King of the Jews. He is Lord of the whole world. That's what happened after the resurrection. So I felt like the Lord wanted me to take those four and to kind of dive in deeper of each one of those. And so today we're looking at the new creation. What is exactly the new creation that God put into us? What exactly does that mean and how does it work? So that's where we're going today. Those of you that read the newsletter this week got a glimpse of what I'm going to say next. And that is, I got curious about the number of patents that have been given from the U.S. Patent Office. And that's the premier one in the world. And I discovered that in May the 11th, 2021, the 11 millionth patent had been granted. Is that amazing or what? It started in 1790. That was the first one. And in May 11th, 2021, about a year and a half ago, 11 million patents had been granted. What that means is that somebody went and designed something new. They made a new creation. It was different from anything else that existed. And as a result of that, the U.S. government looked at it, the patent office, and they said, that's new, never been done before, here's your new patent. I think one of the most unusual ones is the Harley-Davidson motorcycle sound. That has been patented. It was a fight and a battle, but actually no one can patent that Harley-Davidson motorcycle sound. It's unique, one of a kind, and it's been patented. It was created. And they said, therefore, you have a right to that. Do you know that when you invite Jesus to be Lord of your life, you've been patented from heaven? There's a new patent that is in you called a new creation that's never been done before. It's amazing to think about that way, but that's the reality of what I want to share with you. You see, those in the Old Testament, they actually believed in the same way that we believe in the New Testament. It says that Abraham, in Genesis 15:6, Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. And that's the same way we do today. We believe God of what Jesus did on the cross, and as a result of that, it's credited to us that we have right standing before God. We have righteousness. So we believe the same way in the old and the new. What's different in the new than the old is this new creation that has come into us rather than is just around us or written on a tablet that we follow. This new creation is put into us by the Holy Spirit after Jesus raised from the dead. That is new and different from anything else that had ever been done before in human history. It happened after Jesus raised from the dead. We find that verified in John chapter 7, verses 37 through 39. This is Jesus talking. He said, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. And whoever believes in me, rivers of living water will flow out from them. He says that what he meant by this is the Spirit would be given to those who believe, but not yet, because Jesus had not been glorified, or we could say raised from the dead or resurrected. Jesus is telling that there's going to be something new that's going to be imparted to the human race when we believe that hadn't ever been done before. And that's what we call the new creation. Now, I want to, again, just look at a verse that I mentioned last week. And again, I'm going to call it up in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 14 through 17. 2 Corinthians 5, verses 14 through 17. It says, for Christ's love compels us, because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. And as he died for all, those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. Verse 16. So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old is gone, and the new is here. That's a great translation. If anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old is gone, and the new is here. So what does that exactly mean as we then realize that that's what has taken place? What I've come to understand is that you can actually receive Christ by faith, believe that your sins are forgiven, but never operate life out of the new creation within you. In other words, you can believe that God has saved you, and yet you never come to the place where you live the abundant life. You live the blessings of what it means. You live the place where you have more than enough to share with others. You're saved. You know that you're saved, but you're not living out of the new creation within you. And I've known people like that. In fact, the scripture talks about that. It talks about being carnal Christians or those that are immature. What's happened? They're at a level of belief, but they have yet to step in to understand the fullness of what God has already given them, and they don't know how to access it. That's what we're going to talk about today in living out of the new creation. So my goal is to really awaken you of what we actually have in this new creation put inside of us when we say yes to Jesus. I want to excite you about that today. I want to awaken you to that today, that you say, wow, I never knew that. Or maybe I've gotten lax and not drawing from the new creation, and I've gone back to the old. I've entitled the message, New Creation Characteristics. And if you know anything about the word characteristics, it's really a distinguishing word. It compares one from another of saying that a characteristic is kind of like a new creation in a sense that nobody else is like it. It's a characteristic all of its own. And so we as Christians are supposed to be different. We're not supposed to act like the world. We're not supposed to talk like the world. We're not supposed to believe like the world. We're not supposed to have the same faith in what the world has faith in. We're supposed to be different. The question is, are we, and what direction are we heading? And that's related to the new creation that we have within us. Let's get started here. Number one, we've been given the ability to hear God in our hearts. This is one characteristic of the new creation. We now have the ability to hear God, the voice of God, in our hearts. That's something that was new, that's not been done before. It doesn't mean that they couldn't hear God, but hearing God through their hearts, that's new. Now, the prophet Ezekiel, he prophesied in Ezekiel 36, about this was coming. And here's what he said. He said, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you, and I will remove from your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. So Ezekiel was prophesying into what Christ would actually give us when he raised from the dead, this new creation. And he's showing us what it would look like. He said it's going to be a new heart. Well, that means that the old heart was a challenge. The old heart, I mean, if you think about the children of Israel and how they responded to God in the Old Testament, they were thick-headed, they were uncooperative, they were unwilling to obey, they had a short memory. That's just characteristics of the old heart. But Ezekiel prophesies and says, no, there's coming a new heart. You're actually going to delight in following God. You're going to love it. It's going to bring life to your soul. It's going to be nothing like it. And when you taste it, you won't want to go back to the old way. That's what Ezekiel is prophesying that would happen, that actually took place then after Jesus raised from the dead. You know, they did have means to actually hear the voice of God, and we don't really understand much about it. It's called the Urim and the Thummim. And what we do understand, it was sort of like a vest that the priest would put on. It had gemstones in the front, and we don't really know how it worked, even though they believed it did. And so the priest would put on this Urim and Thummim, this vest, and I don't know whether lights would go off or it would vibrate, or I have no idea. We're not really told, but they said this was the mechanism that they used in the Old Testament to hear the voice of God, to decide what God's will was or what God's will wasn't. And so that was the device that the priest used. Kind of cumbersome, but apparently they figured out how it worked, and they would use it on occasion to determine the voice of God in a matter. Well, in the New Testament, we've progressed from that. We have now God living within us by His Holy Spirit, and that is the new creation, and we can hear God in our hearts. I came across a video of Charles Stanley, and on his program, he had somebody write in. This was years ago, I guess, and he had somebody write in and said, I've placed my faith in Jesus. I know that I'm saved, but I don't know that I've ever heard the voice of God or been directed by the voice of God. And he began to write as a response to this question that came in. And he said, first of all, he said that you will be able to hear God more clearly if it's practiced on a regular basis. In other words, you don't wait for crisis or challenge to hear the word of God. He said that makes it more difficult. But if you're practicing along the way, you're reading the word of God, you're letting the word of God speak to you, you're praying to God and He begins to answer you, you're worshiping God and you're with like-minded believers that desire the same thing, all of those things they build up reservoirs, so to speak, in our life, that when we hit the challenge or when we hit the crisis, he said it makes a lot easier to hear God because you've been practicing all along in your life. It makes a lot of sense. And then he went on to say that there's things in our life that are just life responsibilities that we don't need to call a prayer meeting to decide. Like, what kind of socks you going to put on this morning? You need to call a prayer meeting for that? What am I going to eat for lunch? You need to call a prayer meeting for that? Should I be on time at work? Do I need to pray about that one? No. Or be on time at church? Maybe you need to pray about that one. Oh, I just stepped on your toes. Okay. You guys are great. Just having fun here. But I thought that was interesting that, there's certain life things that we don't need to call a prayer meeting on, you know. Do I brush my teeth or not? Really? No, I brush my teeth. Exactly. Yeah, it's just common life things that we do that God's not involved. However, some of those things we get into places where we do need to ask God. And Charles Stanley cited too, he said that he wanted to buy a turkey for the family for Thanksgiving. And he didn't have a lot of time. So he prayed and said, Lord, where do I buy this turkey? And suddenly he had this impression of a store that was not far away and said, you'll find the turkey, the right size you need. Just go there and do it. So he did. He followed that prompting. And he went to that store and he found the turkey right there. It was the right size he wanted. And he got out exactly the time that he needed. He heard the voice of the Lord in that maybe mundane thing that normally you and I wouldn't pray about, but he felt like he needed to, and God answered. Then he said another time he was buying a new car, and he tried out this car three times, and the third time he's sitting in it, but he really didn't have peace, and he prayed. He said, Lord, what do I do? Do I buy this car or not? And he heard this impression, this inner voice that said, you can have this car, or you can have my best. Right away, he knew it was a no. He thanked the salesman for showing him and got up and went. And he said, every time that God says wait, he always has something better. Every time. And so again, this is just an example, and I could share from my own life. I've had examples like that before, that some of the mundane things I stop and ask God about. And other times I'm just going along. That's expected because it's life responsibility and God's okay with that. We don't need to consult him about everything because we're flowing in on who he is within us. So again, just kind of a recap there. As God speaks, are we listening? That's a question. Out of Hebrews 3, verse 15, it records, just as has been said, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. So we can actually participate in hearing God's voice. The question is, do we want to hear God's voice? That's the question. This phrase comes out of Psalm 95, and then these two statements, they're actually repeated three times in two chapters of Hebrews. If you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. as you did in the rebellion. Now, what it's referring to in the Old Testament is essentially the children of Israel. God wanted to share with them. He wanted them to hear his voice, and they didn't want to hear it. They walked away and said, "We don't want to hear Moses, we'll hear your voice, but we don't want to hear God's voice." It was a sad day in God's house when that happened, but it did happen. And as a result of that, he gave them the law. They had to follow the law, which became they couldn't keep that as well. We're in a new era. And then the new creation allows greater ability to hear God's voice. I've just been talking about that. A couple of scriptures that relate to us being able to hear God's voice more clearly as a result of the new creation. One comes out of Isaiah chapter 30 in verse 21. It says, "Whether you turn to the right or to the left, your ears will hear a voice behind you saying, 'This is the way, walk in it.' And you will desert your idols overlaid with silver and your images covered with gold, and you will throw them away like a menstrual cloth, and you will say to them, 'Away with you.'" When you actually understand that God wants to speak to you and you desire to hear his voice, once you cultivate that, then all the other voices, as Chris talked about earlier, all the other voices that come at you, they won't stick. You may hear them and you say, "Well, that's not God, that's not God, that's not God," because you've cultivated a life through reading his word, through prayer, through being with like-minded believers. You've cultivated that kind of hearing, and you know what God's voice is and you know what it isn't. And when you realize that others are trying to just, idols speak to you and the world speaks to you, you begin to recognize the difference, and you discard the one and you invite the other. John chapter 10, verses 2 and 3, Jesus is talking here, and he said, "The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out." If you made Jesus Lord of your life this morning, he knows you by name. I may forget your name. I may ask your name several times, but Jesus knows your name. He was involved in naming you. He knows your name. The question is, do we know his voice? Hebrews 8, 7 through 13 makes a distinction between the old covenant and the new. Let me read a portion here for you. "For if there had been nothing wrong with the first covenant, no place would have been sought for another. But God found fault with the people and said, 'The days are coming, declared the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the people of Israel and with the people of Judah. It will not be like the covenant I made with their ancestors when I took them by the hand to lead them out of Egypt, because they did not remain faithful to my covenant. And I turned away from them, declares the Lord. But this is the covenant I will establish with the people of Israel. After that time, declares the Lord, I will put my laws in their minds and write them on their hearts. And I will be their God, and they will be my people. No longer will they teach their neighbor or say to another, 'Know the Lord,' because they will all know me, from the least of them to the greatest. For I will forgive their wickedness and will remember their sins no more. By calling this covenant new, he made the first one obsolete. And what is obsolete and outdated will soon disappear." So he's contrasting the idea between the old covenant and the new covenant, and the new covenant is the new creation that he put inside of us. Number two, another thing that happens in this new creation is that we become partakers in the divine nature. We become partakers in the divine nature. 2 Peter chapter 4, verse 3 and 4. "His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of him who has called us by his glory and goodness. Through these, he has given his very great and precious promises, so that through them you may," here it is, "participate in the divine nature, having escaped the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. In the Old Testament, God's presence was contained in a box. It was called the Ark. And wherever the Ark went, the people knew God was with them. And so they paid attention to the Ark. And then the Ark would set in a special place in the tabernacle. It was called the Holy of Holies. And that was a place that the priest would go once a year after he confessed all his personal sins and all the sins of Israel that he knew of. And yet he would walk into that place, that Holy of Holies, with that box, the Ark, the literal presence of God. And he would walk in trembling, wondering if he had forgotten some sin that he needed to confess. That's how they did it in the Old Testament. You had to be right in order to get into the presence of God. But in the New Testament, it's exactly backwards. We come into the presence of God, and then he deals with our sin after we're in his presence. And so lots of times people function in life, even after becoming Christians, thinking their life has to be right before God likes them or you get into his presence. But that's not what the New Testament teaches. It says, come boldly into the throne room of grace. And after we get into his presence, then we get in there and God begins to say, hey, you might not want to do that or say that or think that anymore because that's destructive. After we're into his presence. And that's what the new creation allows, that we are actually partakers of his divine nature that is put within us by the Holy Spirit. That's a wonderful way to think and live, that the substance of God actually is living in us that believe. Wow. What an amazing journey that we're on and way to live, to think the very substance of God is living within you by the Holy Spirit. It wasn't that way in the Old Testament. Now we have a couple of scriptures that go along with that. Galatians 2:20 says, I have been crucified with Christ. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Titus 3:4-7 reads, but when the kindness and the love of God our Savior appeared, he saved us. And because of righteous things we had done, and because of his mercy, he saved us through the washing or rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ our Savior. So that, having been justified by grace, here it is, we might become heirs, having the hope of eternal life. We're not shut out looking in. We're actually family. We're joint heirs. We have his blood flowing through our veins by faith. Romans 8:16-17. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are co-heirs with Christ. And if we are his children, then we are heirs, heirs of God, and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his sufferings in order that we may also share in his glory. So the very substance of God, the divine nature, is living within us by the Holy Spirit, and we are partakers of that. We're not just watching from the outside. We're not just begging God to give him some of us. It's actually within us, living within us. There's a statement that's made in Timothy that if you don't really understand this, it's kind of perplexing. It reads, if we are faithless, he remains faithful, because he cannot disown himself. And not understanding that the new creation is within us by the Holy Spirit, that God's substance is in us, now that verse begins to make sense. Because it says that even though we're faithless or we're struggling, God cannot disown himself because he lives within us. So why would God disown himself within us? That begins to make sense, right? He's already put a portion of himself within. Therefore, he can't disown what is living within us. There you have it. So we may be struggling. We may be lacking faith. But he is strong within us because of the new creation within. Now, how does this new creation actually work? I mentioned earlier that we can actually be saved, put our faith in Christ, but not know how to access this new creation and all the benefits of it within our lives. How do we then get there? And what I've discovered is this new creation is activated through regeneration. Through regeneration. What does that mean? Again, an earlier verse that I read, I'll pull out again. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. If you know anything about regeneration, it is actually a natural process that operates within our physical bodies. And the way that it works, it's how we were created, how we were designed, that our physical bodies begin to restore damaged or missing cells or even tissues or organs, even body parts are begin to be restored because that's how our body was created by our Creator. Our human bodies were created to regenerate or to heal or to be healthy. I found this video of how it demonstrates the physical body, and now we're going to talk, after watching this, we're going to talk about what it means by a spiritual body. So let's take a look at how the physical body regenerates.
You are not the same person you were 10 minutes ago. In fact, your body is constantly regenerating itself. New cells are made, old ones are discarded. Every 7 to 10 years, you get a completely new body with new sets of organs and tissues. Your stomach regenerates itself every 4 days. The stomach cells that help you digest food are replaced every 5 minutes. You get a new liver every 150 days. The entire outer layer of your skin, called the epidermis, replaces itself every 4 weeks. Your pancreas, which helps regulate your blood sugar level, is renewed every 50 days. And every 4 months, you get a new set of red blood cells across your entire body. Even after you donate blood, it would only take 12 weeks to completely replace the red blood cells you donated. Your taste buds that help you enjoy a variety of food are replaced every 10 days. Although cells are always regenerating, the process can be slow for some parts. Bones, for instance, require up to 10 years to fully regenerate. As we age, bone regeneration slows down and our bones become weaker. Despite this incredible regeneration capacity of the human body, some parts of your body are never replaced, such as the cells that make up the inner lens in your eyes and the neurons in your cerebral cortex. Fat can also accumulate and stick around depending on your diet and physical activity. Even though everything in your body is replaced after some time, the only thing that remains of you is your consciousness, self-awareness, and memories. As I said, your taste buds are replaced every 10 days, but the memory of the delicious food you tasted before is still there, and new taste buds are ready to experience it. Isn't that incredible?
Amazing. Anybody for ice cream? I noted how they came back around and said, your taste buds are regenerated, and they're like, I want ice cream. Amazing. But yet, for the body to function that way, we have to participate in it, don't we? We have to feed ourselves the right things. We have to exercise, we have to get the proper amount of rest, we have to manage our stress. We have to participate in this body that God gave us in order for the regeneration process to do its work. Someone from the first service that's into bodybuilding came to me and he said, another thing that happens is that your body regenerates the cells that it has. In other words, if your cells get damaged, it starts to regenerate damaged cells. It wants to regenerate new cells, but it actually regenerates what's there. I thought, wow, that's a new insight. And so we have this incredible body. I mean, that's amazing, all the different things that it does. You're not the same person 10 minutes ago. That's really wild to think about. And yet, we have a regeneration process because the new creation is within us. So let's find out how that actually works. Let me go back to this anchor verse that I read. If anybody is in Christ, new creation. The old is gone and the new has come. It's important for us to understand how that works. How many of you have flown in an airplane? All right, probably most of you have flown in an airplane. When you're in an airplane, you don't think about the law of gravity working, do you? You think, nah, can't work. I'm in this airplane. I'm flying at 30,000 feet. Just open the door of the airplane and step out. What happens? You'll find the law of gravity still works. Yeah, you're not going to go up. You're going to go down. Unless Jesus is coming back at that moment, and he'll take you up. So we understand the fact that there is laws that superimpose other laws, and if those laws that superimpose stop working, then those that are underneath start working again. And that's the same way in these two natures that we have. We have a human nature that we inherited from Adam, and then we have a new nature or a new creation given to us in Christ. And so I don't know if this example is going to help or confuse, but we'll just try it out here. I have an old jacket. It's I don't know when I bought it, probably back in the 90s when tweed was in. And so I thought I'd bring it out today and put it on, and it represents the old nature. It fits pretty well. I mean, it fits me all right. And that would be the old nature that I have. I draw from that. I live from that because that is what is on me. And then I receive Jesus, and Jesus says, I want to give you a new nature that you don't operate out of the old anymore. And what we commonly think, and even what Scripture indicates, is that the old nature is taken off, and then the new nature is put on. And this is the most recent jacket. Whoops. This is the most recent jacket that I purchased. And so the idea is that the old nature is taken off and the new nature is put on. So you have the new nature. The old is not there anymore. That's kind of sometimes how we can understand it. But the reality is, if you read through Scripture, both natures are still there. And so a better idea, you know, some people, they might try to do this. They might try to put on the new nature while the old nature is still there, you know. Try this a while, half in the world, half in Jesus. The Bible calls that double-minded, unstable in everything you do because you're trying to wear both. But in reality, and the fact is, I probably should have chosen a different old nature, but I chose this old tweed to believe what takes place is that you have the old nature with you. And, oh, wow, got my name on here. That's cool. I can remember who I am. I wonder when I wore this last. And then what happens is, and this is kind of, this is how it works here. The new nature comes on top of the old nature, just like in an airplane. Again, I should have, here we go. Well, we're squirming in here. Some of you are like, is he going to make it or not? Yeah. All right. Here we go. Got it. Woo. Getting a little bit warm. There we are. Looking good, huh? Yeah. little bit of inflated, but that's just what the... So here we got. We got the new nature. Now, again, you don't think the old nature's there because you got the new nature on, but the old nature's still there. It can't operate. It's neutralized because the new nature is inside of you and working. And yet sometimes you can roll back the flap and say, I want to do this because the flesh wants this, or I want to get ice cream every day and roll up the sleeves. But the new nature is on top of the old and renders it powerless as long as you're pulling from the new nature. And if you're pulling from the old nature, even though the new nature is on top, then the old nature will work again. That's Romans chapter 7. If you want to read it, if you've never read it before, it's the battle between the natures. But the new nature, you have to understand that is within you, will always win if you pull from it. Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And so it's just a matter of belief to realize, wait a minute, I've got a new nature within me, and the old nature is still on, but it's rendered powerless because of the new creation that is placed into me by Jesus raising from the dead and the Holy Spirit living within. Let's read a couple of scriptures here that talk about that. Again, they use language of putting on and putting off, but it really does mean the same thing. Colossians chapter 3, 4 through 9. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices, and put on the new self, which is being renewed, there's the renewal process, in the knowledge and in the image of its creator. So the regeneration process is being renewed in the fact of who we are and who God is by reading the scripture and by praying and being in like-minded fellowship. That's the renewing, that's the regeneration that takes place in the new creation. It says, here there is no Gentile or Jew or circumcision or uncircumcision or barbarian or Scythian or slave or free, but Christ is in all and is all. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other. Forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them together in perfect harmony. Again, we see the regeneration process that is happening through being in God's presence, understanding who He is and His nature, that we regenerate from the new creation within. Ephesians chapter 4, 21 through 32 essentially say similar things but different. When you heard about Christ and were taught in Him accordance with the truth that is in Jesus, you were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, and to be made new in the attitude of your minds. To put on the new self created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Now here's what it means to live from the new creation. Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood, speak truthfully to your neighbor. For we are all members of one body. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry. And do not grieve. And do not give the devil a foothold. Anyone who has been stealing must steal no longer, but work, doing something useful with their hands so that they may have something to share with those in need. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only for what is helpful for building others up in according to their needs that may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with which you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of bitterness, rage, anger, brawling, and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. That's what it means to live out of the new creation that is put inside of us by Holy Spirit coming to live within. Those are the characteristics of the new creation within. And as I read those, we may struggle with those in our lives and relationships and in different times. But the fact is that even though we may struggle, we would love to be in an environment where those things are practiced. Right? Absolutely. We would love to be in a place or a family where those characteristics are practiced out of the new nature. We may struggle with them ourselves, but yet when we find a place where they are, we like, well, this is love of God being exhibited. And so we have this new nature within us. The question that I leave you with today is, are you living out of the new creation within you? That's the question. Are you living out of the new creation, or are you living out of the old nature? Are you thinking to yourself, oh, I just have to give in to whatever. I don't have the power and ability to say no. Well, that's about two messages from now when you'll learn that we have been given the power to say no. But I just share short this morning to say, greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. Do we believe that? Do we understand that? Jesus has been tempted in every way that you and I are, and yet He won. Therefore, His power lives within us. Therefore, we can be winners too. There's really two things that trip us up. There's temptation and there's deception. Most of the time, we know what we're being tempted by. We can identify that. We might not share that with anybody or share it with a selected few, but we mostly know what we're tempted by. The question is, do we know when or what we're being deceived by? Because really, that's how deception works. We don't know it. But yet, God has given us His Word, and his spirit and like-minded believers, that when we step into deception, that we don't go very far before his word or his spirit or like-minded believers say, hey, wait a minute, you are walking into something you don't realize. Stop and take a look at this. So God has given us everything we need. He's equipped us through the new creation living inside for us to live this godly life. That is not only a blessing to us, but to others and to the world. And the world is longing to see believers in Christ live this way. I heard somebody just leaving the first service that said they're inviting somebody 2 weeks from now. And the reason that the invitation came about, they said they want to come to church for the first time I think on the 30th. They said the reason they're doing that is because they saw something different in this individual that they didn't see in other people that they worked around or been around. And so as a result of that, they said, you have something I don't have. What's going on with you? You see, that should be a common occurrence with us as believers in Christ, because we are drawing from and pulling from the new creation that is within us. God living within. We can hear his voice with our heart. We are now partakers of the divine nature. His substance lives within us. And the new creation that is put on the old nature is rendered powerless unless we decide to throw off the new nature and to give the old nature attention. But we have the power and ability to say no and live out of the new nature. Doesn't that sound like an exciting way to live? I think it's amazing. And Jesus made all that possible after he raised from the dead. Let me read Colossians chapter 3, 1 through 4 yet. Since you have been raised with Christ, set your heart on things above. Where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. Wow. What a set of verses to meditate and realize the old that we were born with is now replaced with this new creation inside of us. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for allowing us to dive in to understand a little bit more of how this new creation works. And we thank you for Jesus. And after he raised from the dead, probably one of the things that he taught his disciples that were listening about this phenomena, that now God lives within. He's no more just around, or we have to go to a place to find him. He's now actually traveling with us. So Lord, I pray that you would bring us to this place of that realization to say that I'm a new creation. I've been patented from heaven. And think differently about ourselves and about God as a result of that. And Lord, I pray today that if someone that hasn't said yes to Jesus, that they would simply realize that the way that they're living off of themselves or off of the world is such a low-level subsistence, poverty type of living spiritually, when there's so much more richness, so much more blessing, so much more, God. And I pray that you would draw anyone here to say yes to Jesus this morning. And then you said that you would come in and you would establish a new creation in them. Father, I pray that you would show us that we're not living out of the new creation. We're living out of the old nature rather than the new creation. Lord, show us. Again, you're a good father. Jesus, you're an incredible brother. Holy Spirit, you're an incredible teacher of truth. Lord, show us where we're not living out of the fullness, and teach us how to access that because of the new creation within. Thank you, God, for unveiling this for us. Lord, teach us more, because you have more to give us through the new creation placed in us in Christ Jesus. Amen. I want to invite you to stand, and if you'll join me, I'd like to end with a declaration. Again, this is an invitation for you to say. If you're not comfortable saying it, then that's fine. There's no judgment. It's just an offer to participate in this declaration of being in the new creation. So join me in saying together, by inviting Christ to be my Lord and Savior, I am a new creation, patented by heaven. I can hear God's voice to direct my life. I can partake of the divine nature living within me by the Holy Spirit. I now have the power to say no to the works of the old nature and to say yes to the new nature living within me. Even in the battle between natures, Jesus gives me the power to win. Because greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Thank you, Jesus, for the life that lives in me. I now commit myself to the regeneration process of putting off the old and putting on the new. In Jesus' name, amen.